Good morning, everyone. Let's all stand together. We're going to lift up our voices as we sing A New Name and Glory. I was once a sinner, but I came pardon to receive from my Lord. Given, and I found that He always kept His word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not the God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. The cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Amen. Good to see each of you in the Lord's house this morning. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before You during this worship hour. We ask that it would be Your Holy Spirit that moves from person to person, pew to pew, stirring our souls and drawing nearer to You. Lord, truly, we desire to exalt Your holy name this morning, and we thank You for Your many, many blessings to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes. The whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing. The people sing. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna.
Stand, and together we're going to lift up our voices as we sing,
who you say I am. I am who you say I am.
Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his praise runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Forsaken, I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Cause it to bear fruit. Open up our ears to hear. Lead us in your truth. Show us Christ. Show us Christ. Oh God, reveal your glory through the preaching of your word, until every heart confesses Christ is Lord. Your word is living light upon our darkened eyes, guards us through temptations, makes us simple wise. For the slave, riches for the needy soul, come speak to us today. Show us Christ, show us Christ. Oh God, reveal your glory through the preaching of your word, until every heart confesses Christ is is Lord.
And please be seated.
We are blessed to have folks who minister to us in music and song. It is a blessing. I'd like you to take your Bibles with me, please, and turn to Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read to you verses 10 through 19. Title of my message this morning is Finding Courage. Finding Courage. And here we find in this text a man who had to muster up much courage to do what God had called him to do. And I'm going to read to you verses 10 through 19, Acts chapter 9, and then we're going to look in that. But let's ask God's blessing on his word first. Father in heaven, we come before you. And Lord, as we look in this particular text, we find a very courageous man. And he sets for us an example that we also might muster courage to do whatever it is you've asked us to do in our lives. Whether to be a parent, a spouse, a church member, a laborer, a soldier. So many things you call us to do throughout our lives that really require courage. I pray that you would be with us as we look at these verses. Help us to draw from them the spiritual truth you have for us individually. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 9, verse 10 on down through 19, it says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias?' And he said, 'Behold, I am here, Lord.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight.' Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeareth unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.' And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat and was strengthened, then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." When we look at this text, we find the Apostle Paul. Before he was the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, Saul of Tarsus. But Saul of Tarsus was an enemy of Christianity, and even has been mentioned in this text, had a reputation for arresting, bringing Christians back to Jerusalem, where they would be faced with trial and even possible execution. So Saul had a reputation of somebody to fear, a man with great power who posed a great threat to all early Christians. We're introduced in verse 10 to a man by the name of Ananias. And down through this text, we're going to see several things that help us to learn about courage. The first one we're going to see is the opportunity. Then the objective that God had for Ananias and the excuses that Ananias makes. And then we're going to see the victory that Ananias found in his courage. But he's not much unlike any one of us in this room. In fact, when we start at verse 10, it reminds us he is very much like every one of us. Listen to what it says again in verse 10. "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias." That's all it says about him. There was a certain man in the church in Damascus, and his name was Ananias. He's mentioned one other time in Acts chapter 22, verse 12. If you'll pop over there, they'll pop it right up on the screen. It says, "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there." So the only thing we really know about Ananias is that he was a devout man and that he was somebody who had a good report. He had a good reputation in his community among the Jews. But he was a Christian, a committed, born-again child of God, much like you and I in this room. Just an anonymous person who loved God and God reached out to. So when we think about the opportunity to muster up courage and do what he's asked us to do in our lives, we understand that when we look at this example, we're just looking at somebody else just like us. Again, verse 10 says to us, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord. You see, sometimes the Lord lays upon us, on our hearts, things that we need to do that really require courage in each of our lives. Maybe on your job, maybe you see that something's transpiring that you need to speak up about. And so you step up and you speak out, but it took courage. Or maybe there's somebody you know that needs to hear the gospel. They need to know that Jesus can set them free from their sin. He can give them victory, can give them power, but to even talk to them about it requires courage. Years ago, I was talking to a newlywed mom, and she told me, Sandy and I were talking to her, and she mentioned, I'm never going to have children. And we said, well, why not? She said, it's terrifying. I don't think I could be responsible for that. I just look at the world we live in and look at this and look at that. And she had a list of reasons. And she told me, she said, I don't want to have any kids. But you know what? She ended up having children. And she did a fine job at being a parent. But she had to muster up that courage to do something that so many people do, because if we weren't here, if nobody was having kids, none of us would be here. But it still takes courage. And there's so many things in our lives. You know, you lose your job and you have to go and apply for a new job. I was talking to somebody here not too long ago who had to change jobs. And the person looked at me and said, I have not applied for a job in decades. I'm terrified. It takes courage. So here you find Ananias, just a regular guy, a guy who he's devout, he's a faithful believer, he's got a good reputation, he's just a regular good person. But all of a sudden God knocked on his heart's door and said, Ananias, I need you to do something. Now at that point, he didn't know that it was going to really require him to step in deep and find courage. But he was willing to listen to God. He was willing to hear the call of the Lord. Listen again to verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And for you and I, that's the beginning. For us to simply say, behold, here am I, Lord. I'm willing to hear. I'm willing to hear what you have for me. I'm willing to submit and yield and do what you've called me to do in my life, whatever it may be. And for every single one of us, it's different. For all of us, it's different. We face many things that are just hard, scary. And we just have to say, here am I, Lord. Here am I. What is it you want me to do? So we come down as we move into verses 11 and 12 of the text, and we move from the opportunity of God reaching out to us and giving us this scary opportunity, and he gives the objective. Listen to what he says to Ananias in verses 11 and 12. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias, Ananias himself. And he's seen in this vision you coming in, putting your hand on him, that he might receive his sight. So God explains to him. He says, Ananias, I have a place, a specific place for you to go. And it is so interesting how that the Lord, he really does have specific things in our lives for us that are uniquely different than anybody else. And he tells him, he says, it's going to require you to get up from doing what you're doing, and it's going to require for you to go, and I need you to go to Straight Street. Isn't it interesting? You go into the ancient days, the ancient times, and they had a straight street. I mean, lots of our towns have Straight Street or Crooked Street or Mountain Street or Valley Street or Deer View Street. Or things aren't that much different, are they? But God has said to Ananias, Ananias, I have a very specific project for you to do. Here it is. I need you to get up. I need you to go. And here's the address even. In fact, he told him who he's even going to talk to. He's saying to him, actually, when you get there, there's going to be a man named Saul of Tarsus. And when you get there, I've already given him a vision of you coming. So the deck is a little stacked against Ananias saying no, because God has already laid it out very clearly for him. The Lord has already prepared the way for him. So he wants him to fully understand the opportunity that lays ahead. And in each of our lives, you know, we just started a new series in our Bible Hour at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. We've started a new series on Christian character. And I encourage you to come to 9:30 Bible study Sunday mornings. And we're just studying about living our Christian life. And part of living that Christian life is we have Christ in us, and therefore we want to allow God, our Lord Jesus Christ, to live through us. And that's exactly what the Lord is doing with Ananias here. He's making it very clear. I've got this opportunity, and here's the objective. I need you to do it. Listen to Ananias, though, as we come to verses 13 and 14. Because remember, he is just a common guy, just like you and I. He's just a person who attends church. He's somebody who's faithful in his faith. He's got a good reputation. And look at his response to God in verses 13 and 14. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind, to arrest all that call on thy name. So Ananias's response is really a response of excuse, isn't it? He says, whoa, wait a minute, Lord. I know about this Saul of Tarsus. Many people have talked about him. This is widely known that he is a danger to Christians. But what Ananias has not considered is that the truth he has is only part of the truth, isn't it? He doesn't know that something happened on the road to Damascus. He doesn't know that in that journey, coming from Jerusalem and going up past the Sea of Galilee and going up towards modern-day Syria, there's a city up there named Damascus. And on that way, God had struck down to the ground Saul of Tarsus and said to him, it's really hard to kick against me, isn't it? And Paul, at that time Saul, had to come face to face with his war against God. And on that road, Saul had come to salvation. But Ananias didn't know that. He had some truth, but he only had part of the truth. And you know, those things happen to us all the time in our lives, don't we? Where we hear, in fact, Ananias said to the Lord, he says, I have heard by many of this man. And you can hear it from a lot of people, but it doesn't mean that it's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And that's exactly what's happened to Ananias. He's gotten caught in between truth and whole truth. And God wants him to understand. Wait a minute, I have something for you to do. Yes, it's scary. It's frightening. It's hard. And yes, you've got a little bias here because you've heard some things. But God's got something going on here. And the rest of the story is that Saul of Tarsus has met the Lord Jesus Christ miraculously, and he has gone ahead and come to salvation. He is a changed human being. So when you look here at Ananias' response, he's really telling the truth, but only what he knows of the truth. Yes, he's heard it from many. But he's heard about Saul of Tarsus in another place and another way. Not the Saul of Tarsus who's now there, ready to encounter the transformation of Christ. His authority has changed. In verse 14, Ananias says, here he has authority from the chief priests in Jerusalem to arrest, to bind all that call on his name. But his authority, Saul's authority, has changed from what the chief priest has to say to now what God has to say. He's saying, Ananias, I've already dealt with this. I already gave this guy a vision. He already knows you're coming. He already knows you're coming to clear up the blindness I gave him on the road. God is at work. And in your life, God is at work. In my life, God is at work. We might know only part of the story, but God is at work. We might not know all that the Lord is going to work through, but God is at work. We have to be that Ananias, a devout believer who lives his faith, who simply says, all right, Lord. I may not know the whole story, but I am going to trust in you. So when we look at his excuses, we understand that he's really not much unlike us. If God asked you to go to your neighbor who you knew was an absolute enemy of Christ, I mean, he is hardcore opposed to all that you believe, and the Lord says, just need you to go over and tell him Jesus loves you. You're like, Lord, do you know my neighbor? Yeah, he does. Or he asks you to do something hard. Have kids. Whatever. Whatever it is in your life that frightens you. Get a new job. Step out. Take on a new task, a new opportunity. Whatever it may be. You have to all of a sudden listen to the Lord. You and I, it's easy to make excuses. When you look at Luke chapter 14, Luke chapter 14 is such an amazing text about excuses. Look with me if you would, and I'm just going to read to you the excuse part of Luke 14, because I find it to be so very interesting. Look with me at Luke 14, 16 down through 20. Luke 14, 16 through 20. The text says, Then said the Lord Jesus Christ unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, he invited many to come. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, that were invited, come, for all things are now ready. Come on, it's ready. We're ready to eat. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first one said, I've bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So as we look at these excuses, sometimes we can see ourselves there, can't we? You know, our buddy invited us to dinner. And it's so easy to just say to him, no, my wife doesn't want to do that. That's all right. Or who knows what. You know, or you just come up, you make something up. Oh, I just bought a bunch of land. You bought the land, you haven't even seen it. Well, yeah, I need to go see it because I bought all this land. Or I bought some oxen. Sight unseen. I got to go try those oxen out. It's always so interesting to look at the text and look at the excuses and remind ourselves and remember how easy it is to make excuses. And Ananias' excuse, it is easy, but it's real. Because there is no doubt Saul of Tarsus is a scary guy. But Ananias doesn't know that God has already changed the whole dynamics. So for you and I in our lives, there's a huge step of faith involved in mustering up our courage. There's a huge step of faith in doing that which we have never done before or gone before and faced before. And just saying, Lord, help me to do what you've called me to do, whatever it is in your life. As we come down verses 15 down through 19, you find Ananias and the victory he finds in his courage. But the Lord said to him in verse 15, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to hear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So God tells Ananias, Ananias, listen, what I need you to do is really important. This person, this Saul of Tarsus, he is going to become somebody who represents me. He is chosen by me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, to kings, Caesar himself, and yes, to Israel. Now, of course, Ananias, all he's heard was that Saul of Tarsus arrested, hauled people back to Jerusalem. They would be tried and often executed. That's what he's heard. But God says, no, wait a minute. There's a whole nother part of what I'm going to do with Saul of Tarsus. He is going to be a preacher of the gospel. He will be the Apostle Paul. All I need you to do is go do what I've asked you to do. And it's almost impossible for us to know the domino effect of us doing what God has called us to do in our lives. It's so hard to know because we cannot see, but God can see. And he lets Ananias know there is a huge victory that lays ahead. There is a huge benefit in what I've asked you to do. There you're going to see a transformation that is going to change the world. The Apostle Paul will become a preacher who, by testimony of those who lived at that time, turned the world upside down in his preaching of the gospel. But the Lord is going to use a simple man named Ananias to go and touch Saul, that his blindness might fall away and he might be empowered by the Spirit of God to become who God wants him to be. But it is very interesting when you come to verse 16, because here you find the Lord answer Ananias' fear. You remember what Ananias' fear was? He said, wait, Lord, I have heard from many people of this man, the way that he has come and bound Christians. And here, right here at Tarsus, he has authority from the high priest to bind Christians and to take them. So look with me at verse 16. And God says to Ananias, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. That is such an interesting verse, because he just got done telling us how hugely he's going to use Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, how he is going to be this great preacher, this great witness. But remember, Ananias' concern about Saul is that Saul is a persecutor, a hunter, a killer of Christians. And God throws right in the middle of that. He says, I've heard you, Ananias. I heard you. Absolutely, you're exactly right. What he has done is evil and wicked and horrible. that he has done to Christianity. And because of that, he will suffer much. It's not that God does not see what goes on in the world. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." So you find here that the Lord reminds Ananias, Saul will reap the whirlwind of the sorrow and suffering he has created. But I'm still going to use him to get the gospel all around the world. Now, did that make Ananias feel any better? I don't really know. I didn't live at that time. But can you imagine your friends, your neighbors, your Christian brothers and sisters in Christ being arrested, hauled to Jerusalem, have them stand before the high priest, and have them persecute even unto death your friends, your churchmates, your parents? They used to go ahead and haul Christians in, and they would execute the children first to get the parents to turn from Christianity. So they would start killing their children and say, "Will you recant? Will you turn from Christianity?" And kill the next one and the next one until they got to the parents. So Ananias knew this. And God says to him, "Listen, I know. I know Ananias. And he will suffer much. Because what we sow, we also reap." Romans 12:19 says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And maybe in your life, you have encountered people who took your worst fear and made it a reality. God knows. He knows. You might be somebody who's hanging on to things from 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. You're still hanging on a hurt, a wound, something that just terrifies you to even think about it. God knows. He needs you to let it go because he'll take care of it. In his time, in his way, he will take care of it. But we have to let it go. Ananias had to let it go. Because in order for us to live the life he has for us, we have to let those fears go. And we have to say, "Yes, Lord, okay. I don't know the whole story. I'm just going to trust in you. And I am going to do what's right before you." And that's what Ananias does. When you come down to verse 17 in our text, Ananias went his way. And he entered into the house, put his hands on Saul, and listen to this. Brother Saul, his whole attitude has changed. Brother Saul, he's now hearing God that this guy's been changed. He's no longer an enemy of Christ. He's a brother in Christ. And he says to him, he says, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou came, has sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Ananias stepped up. He found his courage. Not in that he himself changed, but God changed him. Just as God changed Saul, so God changed Ananias. And you and I, in each of our lives, as we face whatever it is that in our life that we must face, we have to go ahead and let God take care of it. We have to let it go. And Ananias did. And he goes ahead, and it's just so amazing to see him in such a short time go from fearing Saul to embracing Saul as his brother. You and I, as children of God, you and I, as born again, Christ believing children of God, we face the same fears and obstacles that everybody else faces in the world. But when we face them, like Ananias, we have to step up and say, I can do it through Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We, like Ananias, we have to, by faith, understand that we don't always know the whole story. We don't always know the back story. And we have to just say, yes, Lord. Yes. I will believe and follow and do what you've asked me to do. Yes, Lord. And Ananias did. And you and I can. And he takes each of us and he gives us opportunities, objectives. He faces our excuses and helps us through them. And in finding our courage, we find victory, just like Ananias. So I challenge you this morning in your life. There are many things that come that are hard. The other day I was talking to a couple, middle-aged, maybe a little more than middle-aged, and they asked me, they said, how long have you pastored here? I said, oh, I've been here, this summer will be 36 years. And they looked at me and they said, you did our son's funeral. And now they're talking a long time ago. And I do a lot of funerals and it is hard to remember so many. But they went on to tell me, well, our son, he had two little twin boys, and when he died, you did the funeral. Now, can you imagine the loss? You know, I looked at them, and I said to them, I am so sorry. Because you know what? That hurt is still there, isn't it? But they had to face that. They had to continue to minister to their grandchildren who are now grown. They had to continue to love and care for their son's wife. There's so many things in our lives that come that are hard, that are scary, that require stepping up to levels of faith that we can't even imagine today. But God will take us through. He will get us through. We just have to say, okay, Lord, just like Ananias. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. I know that Brother John has for us a couple verses as we be dismissed, but let's close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you be with us as we go forth. Lord, I thank you for each and every soul that is here this morning. And I pray that you help us to be courageous, facing life with confidence in you. We thank you. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.